Hey, good morning, good evening, and good afternoon. It's your guy, Larry, and you just tuned into another awesome and wonderful episode of Larry's Biblecast. How you guys doing today? I pray that you're having a wonderful week so far. And as always, I want to thank you for tuning in. I want to thank you for just tuning into this small little podcast and just being a part of it. Listen, we're going to be getting right into the book of Romans chapter 2 in this reading of the book of Romans. We've been going through just kind of a starting point. So those of you that might have, kind of caught it right now, it's like we're just in the beginning of reading the entire book of Romans. And we're going to just be reading about the book of about Paul's writing to the Roman church. And today we're going to be doing chapter 2, verses 17 through, I believe, 29. And the Jews, it's called the Jews and the Law. So it's going to be a very impactful, I believe it's a kind of an impactful portion of scripture. And hopefully that you guys will get something out of it. I'm sure that we will. I just want to just also want to tell you just to please try to stay at the end. There is a salvation appeal, just a prayer that so that some of us can pray if you haven't received Christ. It's so important that that we receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So I hope that you're having a wonderful day and a wonderful week going forward. I want to wish everyone in advance a happy Thanksgiving. I know we're closing in on Thanksgiving right now in the month of November, and I'm just very grateful. I'm grateful for my family and being a part of this holiday season. And man, you know what? My favorite holiday is coming up. I'm smiling as I'm talking to you. It's Christmas. And so I know every year I try to do a special episode of my favorite Christmas song. So I may try to slip that in sometime before Christmas, of course. And for those of you that enjoy Christmas music. Now, unfortunately, you won't be able to hear that on other podcasts. Forms that you get your podcast form only on Spotify. So if you have Spotify, please go check me out over there, and I'll probably be doing a special Christmas rendition of my podcast where I'll just be talking about or just kind of sharing my favorite Christmas music with some of you. And that's always been my favorite time of year. And so again, please kind of tune into that too as well. But in the meantime, we will be going through the book of Romans and just going through that. And so if that's what you're here for the verses and the Bible reading, I welcome you so much. So again, I thank you for supporting me. I thank you for just tuning in and taking your time out of your day to listen. So I pray that you get something really, really good out of this. So until then, happy Thanksgiving again and happy holidays. And hope everything is going to be well for your family. So God bless you. So until then, just sit back and relax and enjoy this next episode of Larry's Biblecast. All right, everyone. So thank you again for tuning in and just being a part of this listening audience. Before we get into today's reading, let's have a word of prayer this morning. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for another day. We thank you for this reading of your word. Thank you for just your grace and your mercy that you have upon us, Lord, today. Lord, I pray that this message that I read from your holy word reaches those that are ready to receive and looking to hear from you, Lord God. Father, I pray that you give me the words to speak and maybe hopefully get some clarity and just some revelation of your word, Lord, today. help us to take what we read and what I've read and apply it to our lives, Lord God. Speak to us today through your word. Speak to us through the relevance of your word, Lord, today. I pray that you would just continue to bless us financially, bless us spiritually, excuse me, bless us mentally, physically, emotionally, Lord. Lord, I pray that my listeners, whatever their needs may be and whatever their heart's desires is, Lord, hear their prayers, their requests. Lord, I pray for families. I pray for husbands and wives, children, of parents and grandparents. Excuse me. Pray for my voice today. Lord, I ask right now that you just continue to direct and guide us each and every day. Help us to grow stronger in you. Help us to grow stronger in your word in this life that we have, Lord, and just continue to guide us, direct us, be more like you each and every day. Lord, give us the grace and mercy that we need from you. Lord, we praise you. We thank you. You're awesome. You're powerful. You're mighty. God, I also pray for those that are listening that may not know you, know your son, Jesus Christ. I pray for salvation in advance. I pray that at the end of this, that they will receive you in their heart. I pray that no sin is great enough that you cannot overcome and not forgive. Lord, we thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for your son's death on the cross, his shedding of his blood for us. Thank you for the free gift of salvation. Help us to not take that for granted. Those of us that have received salvation, those have that are still deciding, I pray that you would direct their heart to give their life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, so hopefully you guys had a wonderful week this week, and whatever time, whatever day that you're listening to this, pray that your week is going well. We are, as of this recording, we are getting toward the end or the latter part of November. Thanksgiving is around the corner, y'all. So those of you, maybe you might listen to this before Thanksgiving. I'm really grateful we have a short week coming up on the holidays and everything. And hopefully each and every one of you are going to participate in having a good holiday season, possibly, and maybe, spending time with your friends or loved ones and whatnot. And those of you that are, you know, just pray that God's grace and mercy be upon you. And just pray that you have a great holiday. There's a lot of people out there that are in need. A lot of people out there that don't have family and friends. Hopefully, I'm praying that you are not one of them that are without. But if you are, I pray that the Lord will give you comfort and also strength to get through the holidays. Sometimes the holidays are tough for those of you that may have lost loved ones, those that have lost ones that are close to you, whether it be a parent or a spouse or a child or a friend even. I pray that the holidays are not too bad for you. Again, my heart goes out to you, some of you that may be out there that is your situation today. So hopefully this episode won't be too long for you, but we're going to continue on in the book of Romans. Chapter 2 is where we're going to get into. And my previous recordings were in Romans chapter 1. Please feel free to go back and listen to those. You can find me on all the places you can currently, I guess, get podcasts on. So you can, if you have Apple Podcasts, you can get on Apple Podcasts. They have that. They have iHeartRadio. I'm on there as well. I'm also on Podchaser, and I believe Podbean, if that's still a thing, and Pocket Cast also. But also you can catch me on Spotify. So I highly recommend that, because that's where the platform that I am now using is recording on Spotify for podcasters. So I just want to really grateful for this medium of just being able to share God's word with some of you. And again, I want to thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in and just being a part of this listening audience. So let's get into the word today. Let's get into the word. And so today we're going to be talking about Romans chapter 2. We're going to be reading verses 17 to the end of the chapter, which will be all the way to the 29th verse. So is entitled The Jews and the Law. Now, I just want to kind of give you just a precursor here, or what have you, a footnote. I'm not a Bible teacher, but I do like to read the word, God's word, and share God's word with you all. So I'm not saying that I will be 100% correct in some of these things, but I do know that some of what the word says, and we'll just kind of open up the word together and we'll talk about it. So again, I hope that this will be a blessing to some of you out there. All right. So this is entitled The Jews and the Law. And this is Paul writing to the Romans. It says here in verse 17, "You who call yourselves Jews are relying on God's law, and you boast about your special relationship with him." Let's read that one more time. "You who call yourselves Jews are relying on God's law, and you boast about your special relationship with him." You know what he wants. You know what it is, what is right, because you have been taught his law. You are convinced that you are a guide for the blind and a light for people who are lost in darkness. You think you can instruct the ignorant and teach children the ways of God, for you are certain that God's law gives you complete knowledge and truth. Well then, if you teach others, why don't you teach yourself? You tell others not to steal, but do you steal? You say it is wrong to commit adultery, but do you commit adultery? You condemn idolatry, but do you use items stolen from pagan temples? You are so proud of knowing the law, but you dishonor God by breaking it. No wonder the scriptures say the Gentiles blaspheme the name of God because of you. The Jewish ceremony of circumcision has value only if you obey God's law. But if you don't obey God's law, you are no better off than an uncircumcised Gentile. And if the Gentiles obey God's law, won't God declare them to be his own people? In fact, uncircumcised Gentiles who keep God's law will condemn you Jews who are circumcised and possess God's law but don't obey it. For you are not a true Jew just because you were born of Jewish parents and because you have gone through the ceremony of circumcision. No, a true Jew is one whose heart is right with God. And true circumcision is not merely obeying the letter of the law. Rather, it is a change of heart produced by the Spirit, and a person with a changed heart seeks praise from God and not from people. Wow. So this is pretty awesome passage here. What do you guys think about this passage? I like to know what you guys think. There is I believe there's a comment section in my podcast on Spotify. If you want to leave a comment or record a comment, I encourage each one of you to do that. If you want, I listen to all my recordings and comments and everything. But let's dig into this. Let's really talk about this. I want to, you know, what the emphasis scripture that I kind of picked out on was in verse 29, where he really kind of brings it all together. And he says, no, a true Jew is one whose heart is right with God. And true circumcision is not merely obeying the letter of the law, rather it is a change of heart produced by the Spirit, okay? And a person with a changed heart seeks praise from God and not from people. This is very good. Again, I love Paul's writings, and I think this is the reason why, too, that I wanted to dig into the book of Romans and talk about, you know, read, you know, through some of his writings in the book of Romans. And this one here, he talks to the Jewish people. Obviously, this was a section of scripture or a letter that he is addressing the Jews, but it seems more condemning in a way, because he is actually, now here's the thing to remember, and I know I'm trying to prevent myself from jumping all over the place with this, but Paul is a Jew, and he understands from the perspective of Jewish people that they pride themselves, like where it says, they pride themselves in obeying the law. The law itself that was given to them is kind of like almost a badge of honor, because they feel like they had the law first. The law was given to them. They feel kind of privileged, like he says. They have a privileged relationship with God that is above everyone else. But the thing is that badge or that privilege or whatever they may feel, it's supposed to hold you more accountable, and you have to be more accountable to what you know. It's almost like, if we remember in the Bible, it talks about Moses, and Moses had the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments was given to God's people, which was the children of Israel, and these were laws of God, and they were to obey these laws. They were to abide through these laws. Now, these same laws that was given to Moses had been the laws that has been traveled from centuries, thousands and thousands of years, all the way up into the day of Paul. So Paul now is writing this letter to the Jewish people, who is also in the same vein or the same passages of time from the time of Moses, leading all the way up to now. And this is where he refers back to the law. Okay. And so you have people that over time they're committing their lives to obeying the law, but there has been hypocrisy. Let me just say that, because according to this scripture, he's really kind of digging into them a little bit. And he's telling them, like we read in verse 18, he says, you know what he wants. You know what is right, because you have been taught his law. Okay. Meaning God's law. You are convinced that you are a guide for the blind and a light for people who are lost in darkness. There is a sense of they are to be the example. They have the law. They have the law of God. They know the law of God. They have been taught the law of God. And yet they disobey the law of God. They don't hold true to what they are talking about. You see here in verse 20. Now, as we get kind of go down this passage, you think you can instruct the ignorant and teach children the ways of God, for you are certain that God's law gives you complete knowledge and truth. And that's all it does. It gives them complete knowledge and truth. And the only reason why it only does that is because they're not completely obeying the very law that they have been given to and that they boast about. You know, he's talking about this. He says, if you teach others, why don't you teach yourself? That's kind of a direct hit. And it says, you tell others not to steal, but do you steal? You say it's wrong to commit adultery, but do you commit adultery? You condemn idolatry, but do you use items stolen from pagan temples? You're so proud of knowing the law, but you dishonor God by breaking it. Okay. So this is really straight and to the point. And I really like the way that Paul is kind of really addressing this issue. And he's not anytime someone like Paul or someone they say in our lifetime that is bringing some truth out, maybe some hard truth like this, I would honestly, you know, tell you to welcome it. And the reason why, because he's not saying this, like in this passage we're reading, Paul's not saying this to really put them down, but to bring about an attention to them, to tell them that you should be obeying this law. If you are boasting about the law that you have, and you see it as a way that is showing the world that you are the light of the world, you can teach others, and it's given to you, but you know, you should not be breaking this law. I would rather for someone to tell me that I am not living according to, say, the law, so that I can become better, than for someone not to tell me. Okay. And this is, in this case here, Paul is talking to the Jewish people, or writing this letter to the Jewish people, to let them know that if you're going to go by the law, and you should be going by the law, then you shouldn't be hypocritical. You should not be living in a way that you teach the same thing, but yet you're acting or doing or performing differently. You're performing that in a way that is breaking that very law that you're teaching. He uses three examples about if you steal, do you steal? Do you commit adultery? Do you condemn idolatry? But do you take items from stolen items from pagan temples? See, notice that. But do you use stolen items? You know what I'm saying? So that's a kind of a double thing right there. You take items from the temple that is already stolen from pagan temples. So it says you are so proud of knowing the law, but you dishonor God by breaking it. Now it says here, he goes on further, and he does mention us, you and I, the Gentiles, right? He says, no wonder the scriptures say the Gentiles blaspheme the name of God because of you. And only because, and it's interesting that this is brought out. And I'm going to say this, I'm not sure exactly if this is what it's referring to. I know the reference to it is Isaiah 52:5. If you want to go and look into that, that's where he gets this reference from. It's saying that the Gentiles blaspheme the name of God because of you. And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to tell you eventually how this applies to us today. Listen, some of us, we're churchgoers. We go to church. We say we're religious. We say we're spiritual, whatever you want to call us, whatever. And some of us say, well, I don't want to be made to look perfect or whatever. I'm not perfect, right? And so sometimes we say these things because we don't want to be held accountable for our imperfection, or our, I'm going to say, not our imperfection, but our purpose, or our living that is done purposefully. We know that we're living contradictory to God's word, but we still, we want to hold that standard. And that's not how we should be. So just as Paul is addressing the Jewish people, we also have to look at ourselves. Okay. This is something that I've said in the last recording. We have to make sure, that we are not like what is described here. Okay. Even though we're now reading this, but we also have to make sure that we are not doing exactly what this is. Okay. So remember that. Okay. So listen to this. He uses in verse 25, the Jewish ceremony of circumcision has value only if you obey God's law. But if you don't obey God's law, you are no better off than an uncircumcised Gentile. And these are facts. Gentiles were not circumcised. Circumcision was a physical sign that you were not only a Jew, but you were one that follows God's law. Okay. This was all taken back from the time of Abraham, where Abraham, you know, was circumcised, and this was a sign setting them apart from other people at that time. mind you, these were men that were circumcised. I mean, there was no such thing as a woman being circumcised, but this was a physical sign. Remember, though, a lot of things that were done were a physical form, a physical sign that you are set apart for God. But now we're living in a day and a time now after the full revelation of God's word has been written, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, Jesus Christ being come and now done away with some of the physical requirements. Okay, let me make this clear. Jesus Christ became the fulfillment of the physical or the natural requirements of the law, okay, of the circumcision, of the things that were done, the animal sacrifices, okay? Jesus came and he became the fulfillment. And some may argue that he done away with it, but in actuality, he didn't do away with it. He actually became the fulfillment of it, which means he became the completion of it. See, when Jesus came, Jesus, people don't do animal sacrifices for sin, for the sacrifice for sin, because Jesus became the sacrifice, right? He became the Sabbath. Okay. He became the seventh, the day of rest. He became that. He became everything, the law. He is the law. And I'm going to explain to you, and Paul does a wonderful job, of course, better than I can explain to you, but he explains how in Christ, the law is fulfilled through him. Yet when we are in Christ as Christians, as believers and followers of God through Jesus Christ, we also follow that law, and we follow that law instinctively. So when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, then everything that Christ has become a fulfillment of, you are now in Christ. Okay. So, and as we read further on in the book of Romans, I believe we'll come across that even more in more detail. Like I said before, Paul himself in his writings is able to explain it even more so in detail. So we are definitely in for a good treat as we go through the book of Romans, and we'll come across that again, because Paul does revisit that about how the law is also fulfilled within every single believer, whether we are Jewish or whether we are Gentiles. It doesn't matter. We now, through Christ, is the centerpiece of everything. He brings everything together. The things that were done in the Old Testament, as well as what is now being done in the New Testament, and Christ is now the full package deal. It's another word I want to say about it, but it's the full package. He became that. He became the lamb. He became the sacrifice. He became the high priest. He became the one that goes into the Holy of Holies with the blood sacrifice and all that. Everything that was done on that cross physically, though it was the most horrific way to see a man to have gone through this in the physical, but God himself use his son as the sacrifice for the remission of sins, for the guilt offering, like they say, the guilt offering, that covers your guilt and shame, your consciousness of what you have done. So he became that. See, this is why it's important that our faith in Christ has to cover and has to bring about the consciousness consciousness of our sin that has had, that we've done. We have to lay at the altar of Christ, of what he's done. Remember, Christ took the effects of our sin, the sin itself, the nature of sin. And he took that and he sacrificed that and gave it to God. This is why it was important for him when he died on the cross, for him to resurrect and go into heaven and into the replicated altar. Okay, the replicated altar, the altar that the priest, the high priest was using in the Old Testament. When you read in the book of Genesis and the book of Exodus and Leviticus and the Levitical priests and everything else, you can see where they had built an altar for these animal sacrifices, so that anybody among the children of Israel that had sinned, they had to deliver or bring about a goat or a ram or a bull or an ox or whatever was required that was for payment of what they have done, the disobedience that they had against God. They had to pay for that. Thank God Jesus paid it all in one fell swoop when he died on the cross and he took upon our sin, and then he took the blood that was shed and he went before God. He went before God, and it satisfied God that his son was the one that put himself as the, what they say, the unblemished lamb of God. Amen. So that's pretty awesome. So listen, we're going to take a quick short break and we're going to come right back and discuss more about this in Romans chapter 2. Right, so welcome back. So let's get right back into God's word here. And so we left off on verse 25, and let's go to verse 20. Verse 24 was what we last read. So he says, no wonder the scriptures say the Gentiles blaspheme the name of God because of you. Okay, and so he's referring back, just real quickly, he was referring back to a Old Testament passage in Isaiah 52 and 5 that talks about the Gentiles blaspheming the name of God because of you. Only reason why he says that, just real quickly on that, is because of the contradictions or the hypocrisy of the Jewish people that he's, you know, calling them out pretty much in this letter. And Paul is pretty much saying, you know, don't brag and boast about God's law and how you all have God's law, but yet you're not following God's law. In the non-believing world, or the Gentiles, which we are, me and you, you know, we are considered Gentiles. If you're not Jewish, in other words, the definition of a Gentile is anyone who is not Jewish. Okay. This is, I don't care. I mean, we can, whatever, how can I say, whatever your ethnicity is, or what country you're from, you are not considered a Jew, so you are considered a Gentile, and that is not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. It's something that it's a status that you are because you're not born a Jewish from a Jewish background, but you're not also in the lineage of, say, Moses or Abraham in that sense. We are spiritually by faith, we are of the same the essence of Abraham, in that sense of what Abraham had done. Okay, what Abraham had done, he, you know, by faith he believed God and it was accounted to him as righteous. That's what the Bible talks about when he had faith to believe God. That right there is how I can say that we as Christians, as believers today, even here in the United States, you know, if you live here in America, basically we have no connection to Abraham there in the, where he was from, in the physical sense. But in a spiritual sense, we do. Amen. So listen, let's continue on in this. We can go down a rabbit hole in so many different directions here, but I kind of want to stay on task here of what we're reading. So in verse 25, he says, the Jewish ceremony of circumcision has value only if you obey God's law. Okay. That's very important to understand it. The Jewish ceremony, that's what circumcision was. It's kind of what I was trying to explain in the last segment here, is about the circumcision that the Jewish people had. It's a ceremony. Okay. But it says has value only if you obey God's law. See, so it only means something is if you obey. I mean, you could be a circumcised Jew and not obey God's law. And now you're basically like an uncircumcised Gentile. It's what the comparison that he made. He says, but if you don't obey God's law, you are no better off than an uncircumcised Gentile. Okay. This is in verse 25. And if the Gentiles obey God's law, he says, won't God declare them to be his own people? You know, that's a question. That's a question. He says, in fact, uncircumcised Gentiles who keep God's law will condemn you Jews who are circumcised and possess God's law, but don't obey it. You hear that? Let's read that one more time. In fact, uncircumcised Gentiles who keep God's law will condemn you Jews who are circumcised and possess God's law and don't obey it. This is very important. And again, I'm gonna try to keep on task with this, but this is a very important statement that he makes here. Okay. It says, for you are not a true Jew just because you were born of Jewish parents or because you have gone through the ceremony of circumcision. No, a true Jew is one whose heart is right with God, and true circumcision is not merely obeying the letter of the law. Rather, it is a change of heart produced by the Spirit. And a person with a changed heart seeks praise from God and not from people. Let's close on this, okay? This is going to be a short one for you guys. Listen, it's important as believers that we are changed from the inside out. Circumcision, the ceremony of circumcision, was an outer sign, a physical sign that you were a Jew. Okay? And I'm going to bring this home to some of us. Since Paul is talking to the Jewish people, I'm going to talk to you all and myself too. When you dress up nice and you dress up or you talk like you go to church and you go every Sunday and you do and you say, and you read your Bible, maybe you carry your Bible, that is equivalent to the circumcision of Jewish people. Now, and I say that because that is a outer sign. What we do in our traditions, and some of us do, is we get baptized. Okay. We go and we get baptized. We have the pastor or the preacher to baptize us. And that is a outer sign that we are doing away with the old life and we are turning to the new life in Christ. Okay. Some of us get baptized. Someone has sprinkling of water or wherever, but that is all these ceremonies or outer signs that we are changed. And so the Jewish people, that comes in the form of circumcision. But it's also to tell the world and those around them that they are law keepers and they are, which means, what does it mean to keep the law? That means you are set aside for him. And that means that you don't participate in the things of the world or ungodly things. And that's the same thing that coming up as Christian. Now, I came up in a background of Pentecostal church and religion. And I'm not just saying this on the Pentecostals, and as well as Baptist or any other denomination, but some of us have been brought up in a legalistic way I say that because the rules at that time in those denominations were telling you, you can't do this. You can't, you know, women couldn't wear makeup. Men couldn't wear their hair long, so to speak. You shouldn't have tattoos. You shouldn't gamble. You shouldn't drink wine or hard liquor. And some of that is true today. And I say this without condemning anyone that does, but I am saying this because those are mere things that are either convictions, or maybe you have got it from the word, from the Bible, and you say, well, the Bible says this and this verse said that. And those are things that even today, Christians, we debate over of what you can, cannot do. It doesn't necessarily mean that you are not so much of a believer, a God, you know, saying that you're closer to God than others, or that you, that you're in the flesh or you're in carnality. And I know that's probably a debatable topic, but what really matters at the end is what he says here in verse 29 of this. He uses the Jews. He talks to the Jews in this way, but I can also apply this to us today. He says, no true Jew is one whose heart is right with God. It says, okay, a true Jew is one whose heart is right with God. And true circumcision is not merely obeying the letter of the law. Rather, it is a change of heart produced by the Spirit. And a person with a changed heart seeks praise from God and not from people. Okay, that simply means is this. And let's apply this to Christians today. If you're a child of God, you are in this example of a Jew. Because we do things from a religious standpoint in our culture. We say we don't participate in this, we don't participate in that. And to the non-believing world, we are considered Christian or spiritual or whatever they may label you. But at the same time, like Paul addresses to the Jews, don't be hypocritical. If you say you're this and you walk in this way, don't say I don't participate in these things, but yet you kind of do. If you don't drink alcohol, or you say you don't, or maybe you condemn those that do, but then you still kind of drink this. I'm just using that as an example. Maybe you don't participate in gambling, but you kind of, lottery. You see what I'm saying? I'm just using an example. This is not to say that what you do is bad or good. There are so many things in the Christian world that we can debate over when it comes to the do's and don'ts about what is considered wrong or what God would look at as wrong. But one thing I will say is an issue of salvation. Salvation really comes down to, do you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And what the Bible says here in verse 29 of chapter 2 of Romans, it talks about what circumcision really is. It is a circumcision of the heart, of whether or not you are now changed from the inside and obeying God by the Spirit. The heart has to be changed. It is not more than just what you do, but who are you on the inside? God begins to change you from the inside out. So all those little things that we as Christians, even today, we debate over, we'd say, we shouldn't do that, you shouldn't do this, or whatever. And we judge one another because of these different things that we see. We have to remember that God changes you from the inside. So as God begins to change you, from the inside, then all those things that is coming to you, or you feel like I should stop doing this, This is because of the Lord by the Spirit. If you notice here, it says, and let me read this one more time. Repeat this. And true circumcision is not merely obeying the letter of the law. I want to read that one more time for those of you that are listening. And true circumcision is not merely obeying the letter of the law. Okay. Rather, it is a change of heart produced by the Spirit, capital S. And a person with a changed heart seeks praise from God and not from people. And to me, that's the, and I said, as I said before, when we first read this, this was the conclusion of the matter because of the fact that Paul is addressing the Jewish people because they're using circumcision. They're using the letter of the law to say that I am a Jew and therefore I am either better than you or therefore I do these things because of, yet there is times where you break those things and you become hypocritical. So I think what really comes down to it is what he says here in verse 29. He begins to tie it all together and say that the true circumcision or a true Jew is not just one whose heart, not a true Jew is one whose heart is right with God. Just like I would say and use this as an example to say a true Christian, a true believer, whatever you want to call yourself, like I call myself a believer of the Lord, a true believer is one whose heart is right with God. That means that, let's skip down to the other part of this verse in 29, it is a change of heart produced by the Spirit. And how is the Spirit producing this? It's through being born again. This is where it comes right back to Jesus Christ. It comes right back to giving your heart and your life over to Christ. Because how is it that you are now changed by the Spirit? You're changed by the Spirit by accepting, first of all, the gift of salvation through Christ Jesus, being born again. To be born again is now your spirit, your soul is now born again. It's redeemed. Listen, there is not going to be physical bodies in heaven. There will be spiritual bodies. So in other words, when you die and I die, the physical body goes into the ground. The spirit goes and to be with the Lord. And the soul, which is the soul, like I said, the Bible says that the soul that sins shall surely die, right? But the soul will also be the one that has to be redeemed. The way to be redeemed is the first initial step, and that is give your heart and your life to the Lord. Give your heart to the sacrifice in which God has given his son, Jesus Christ, to us to receive him. And then you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is for another time. That's for another lesson as we go through the book of Romans. He talks about the Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, that will guide you and direct you throughout the life of your Christian journey. So back to what Paul is talking about the letter of the law, about Jews and the law and the circumcision. All of that is tied in because the Holy Spirit now, as believers, will begin to wash you, begin to direct you, to guide you, along with you reading the word, along with you following God's word. That becomes the law. The Spirit begins to guide you automatically and convicts you of the things you're not supposed to do. See, you become more like Christ in that way than you do physically. I don't care how much you get dressed. how much you properly talk of you being a Christian or being a God-fearing God-fearing man or woman. It doesn't matter. Do you know there's a time in my life where I've said I was a believer. I've you know, read my Bible. I've carried my Bible, things like that. And when I failed morally in front of people, it was like my testimony was ruined, meaning that people saw me and they saw that you wasn't living according to what you reading that Bible. You're not setting a good example. See? And so I can say that, and I can understand here in the scriptures what Paul is talking about when he's addressing the Jewish people. It's the same thing. He's asking them the same questions. If you say not to steal, do you still steal? Do you still commit adultery? Do you still do these things? And he uses the example of the Gentiles because he said, because of the Gentiles, they curse, they blaspheme the name of God because of you. They would say, what is any better than what we do? I mean, how they say that we're supposed to live that way, and look at how they're living. And so this is why we have to be careful as believers. We're living in a world that's full of people that are watching you. It's like they're watching me. And they're seeing whether or not your life lines up with what you read about, what your testimony is. If they look in the Bible, they look in the Word of God, and they say, well, you know, some of us have children, right? Some of us have children. As parents, we're supposed to be living examples to them. You can't go and say, you really can't say, well, I don't want to be an example. You got children. The children are watching you. They're watching the pattern that you have. If you say you go to church or you going to church, but then you come home and you live a different way, then they're confused. Like, how is that the same way? So we have to be mindful as believers. This is a good example, or this is a good passage that even Paul talking to his own people. You notice, it's important for Paul to come to his own people. Why? Because he was a Jew. And I said before, it's important for someone to tell you the truth first, to say, hey, this is wrong. You shouldn't do this, because you need to be corrected. And that way you can become better. You can become more Christ-like, more God-like. Amen. So this was pretty good. I hope that some of you have gotten something out of it. I'm sure that even as much as I might have explained it, I know you've probably gotten more. Maybe your perspective was a little bit different. Please share your thoughts with me on what I've read and if you got anything out of what I've explained, or did you get something else a little bit different? So let me know. Leave me a comments and your opinions and your thoughts on it. I greatly appreciate it. And before we leave today, I want to give someone out there an opportunity to receive Christ as their Savior. This is the most important decision that you can make in your entire life. And that is to receive the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. Some of you may be still deciding. I pray that you are not just deciding, but you make that decision today, right now. We're living in a time now where we don't know when this will happen. We don't know when Christ will come back. We don't know if Christ is coming back now, 10 years from now. We don't know if... I'm sorry about that, guys. So I just got interrupted with a phone call, but I apologize about that. So again, I want to give someone time to receive Christ as their personal Savior right now. And so let's have a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you, Lord, again for this word today. We thank you for blessing us with just another awesome scripture from the book of Romans. And Lord, I pray for those of us that are Christians and believers, I pray that you would just help us to stay focused on you. Help us to be more of an example, a light, a true light in this world, just like what the Jewish people considered themselves with the law. Lord, help us to be the true light in this dark world that we're living in. Help us to not be hypocritical. Help us to not be, say one thing and we do another, Lord God. Help us to be the example and to be an example and a guiding light for those that are still trying to figure it out. Now I pray for those of you, those of my listeners that have not received Christ as their personal Savior. If this is you right now, I pray that you would make that decision today. I pray that you would open your heart to the Lord and receive Him. Let's have this word of this prayer that Father God, forgive me of my sin. Lord, forgive me of the things that I've done wrong, that I know that I've done wrong. Lord, I want to give my life and my heart to you. I want to change my life. I want you to come into my heart. Give me a fresh start. Lord, I pray that you would guide me and direct me. I want to be born again. I want your spirit to be in my heart. I want to be changed from the inside out, God. I don't want to just live to be living. I don't want to live in this life without you. Lord, I ask right now to come into my life, come into my heart, change me from the inside out. Make me a new person again. I want to commit my life to you and commit my soul to you, Lord. Help me throughout the rest of my life to be a better man and better woman, to follow you and to love you, not just by my lips, but by the way I live. Lord, continue to guide me. Guide me through your Holy Spirit. We thank you. Lord, I thank you and love you, and I thank you for your sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross, for the blood that was shed for me. And I love you again. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, again, it's not a specific formula of how to pray, but just be honest, be sincere, and let the Lord tell the Lord how you feel. Tell him what's on your heart and what's on your mind, because God sees it anyway. But just definitely just be honest and be authentic with him. He wants someone that's real, and he wants you to be real. He wants you to be transparent with everything that you're going through. So I want to encourage you that if you're learning how to pray and maybe you haven't talked to God, start off being honest with him, because he knows it already. He knows the things you've done. He's not condemning you. He's not judging you. He doesn't want you to be ashamed to come to him. Come to him. And this is why he died. This is why he died for us. For those of us who have done wrong and shameful things, and however many times, and whoever you've done it with, and whoever you've been, wherever you were, you came from, and whatever lifestyle you're a part of or were a part of, he wants you to come to him. All right. So I just want to encourage you. Hopefully it's whoever you are out there, give your heart to him today. Don't wait. Don't procrastinate. Don't say, I'll wait till another time. You may not have another time. It's important to do it now. All right. So we're going to get into the book of Romans again next time, Romans chapter 3. And so I pray that if you don't hear me again this week, I pray that you have a wonderful and awesome Thanksgiving holiday, or time off or whatever. And I pray that you have a wonderful and blessed week. And I'll be talking to you soon. God bless you. Bye-bye.